And so now we'll commence with our symposium for this morning, which deals with Jesus as advocate and mediator. And first we'll hear from our brother Carlton Chandler of Portland, Oregon, regarding advocate. Brother Carlton.
Thank you, Brother Wade, and Brother Krasonic for your prayer. Dear brethren, it's a pleasure, as we have said, to be here with you another week and another year at General Convention. Our discussion for today is called a symposium. Now, the word actually means a meeting or conference for the discussion of some subject, especially where several speakers discuss a particular topic or topics. And of course, this morning, two subjects will be discussed: advocate and mediator. And we have noticed that in the scriptures, and especially in the writings of Pastor Russell, that these two subjects are given a great deal of consideration. And for our topic of advocate, we turn to 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Of course, this is 1 John 2:1. And this happens to be the only place in Scripture where the word advocate is used. However, looking at the word advocate, there are several other words that we'll be speaking about briefly, and such as comforter and intercessor. You know, although 1 John 2:1 was given specifically for the church, we find that Israel needed an intercessor. Isaiah 59:16, an intercessor there, has the thought of one who stands between to plead their case. And of course, in that case, it was God and Israel. There was no one to plead their case. Israel was out of harmony with God and needed an intercessor. Oddly enough, although the word advocate deals directly with the church, here we also find that intercessor is another word for advocate. And there was God, seeing that there was no intercessor, turned to his arm, Jesus. This is from Isaiah 59:16, to become Israel's intercessor. Now, comforter is another word for this word advocate. John 14:26, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name, and it shall teach you all things and bring to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, this word comforter also has another meaning, one who stands beside. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we are not talking about another human instrumentality here at all, but God sending the Holy Spirit to take the place of when Jesus was here in person on earth. Now he sends the Holy Spirit to guide his children in their narrow way of walk. The word comforter, one called alongside. If we were to go before a judge without an advocate, there would be little comfort. Speaking of our Lord Jesus, we have another place where the word intercessor is used, and that's Isaiah 53 and verse 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and that he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare, that is, he took on the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Here again, the word is intercession and has the thought of someone to come between God and those out of harmony. Well, you say to me, Brother Chandler, we're not out of harmony with God. Why do we need an intercessor? Why do we need an advocate? Well, we'll talk about that a little later here. We're going to take another scripture right now for this word intercessor and intercession. And that comes from Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And finally, there's another scripture again, Hebrews 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now we want to go back a moment to our opening text of 1 John 2:1. We find these words are addressed to the church as a whole. John describes the character of Jesus as the Word of Life and continues to show God, the Father of Jesus, as the giver of eternal life. John was writing to the church of God here, and in particular, in his letter, there were no greetings or farewells or personal allusions made, yet the apostle makes the letter personal by saying that he had personally seen Jesus with his eyes, had his hands upon him, bore witness that Jesus was the personification of eternal life, and that we, the church now in embryo condition, can have fellowship with him and the Father. And you know, this should bring joy to us. However, John gives us a warning. It is through Jesus' blood, he says, that makes us clean. 1 John 1:7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Paraphrasing John's words, we would say, don't you ever think you have no sin. Because if you do think that you have no sin, you're deceiving yourselves, and the truth is not in you. Actually, in John's letter, there were three reasons for his writing about sin. One, even though we have come into relationship with God through Christ Jesus, we do sin. Secondly, we have one then who stands between us and God when we sin. And three, Jesus becomes the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. So our focus for today is on the apostle's admonition to the church to guard against sin and to encourage them, if they do sin, that they have one who will stand between them or stand for them as a lawyer would do. Now, what prompted the apostle to mention the need of an advocate? And what is an advocate? Do we really need one? What part does an advocate fulfill in God's plans? So why do we need an advocate? We are not out of harmony with God. Well, we'll take that first question and say, what prompted the apostle to mention the need of an advocate? Well, you know, if we go back through the Old Testament scriptures, we find, first of all, that the psalmist David tells us that we were shapen in iniquity, and in sin our mother did conceive us. That's Psalms 51:5. And then, who can say I have made my heart clean, that I am pure from my sin? Proverbs 20, verse 9. For there is not a just man upon the earth that does well and sins not. Ecclesiastes 7, 20. And then the Apostle Paul tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, 10. Well, evidently, there were some who believed that by coming into Christ and by receiving the Holy Spirit, they were free from sin, and therefore they did not need anyone to stand between God and themselves. But after reading the above scriptures, that there are none righteous, why would any think that they were free of sin? Well, perhaps it was because of what the Apostle Paul said later in Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation, that is, no judgment against those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here, though, I think we need a little explanation. By coming into Christ and receiving of the Holy Spirit, we are only reckoned or counted free from sin, made possible through the begetting of the Holy Spirit. And after being covered by the robe of Christ's righteousness, as we read in Isaiah 61, verse 10. Paul says then again in Romans 5, 1, we are justified by faith. Yes, how true it is. However, we must never think, as the Apostle John has told us, that we do not or cannot sin. We go back a moment to Romans 8, verse 34. Romans 8, verse 34, and we read that Jesus makes intercession for us. Who is he that condemns? Yes, Christ died, that is risen again. And who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? It is Jesus, then, who stands between God and us. We not only can, but we do sin. And we need Jesus as our advocate. 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10 read, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, these are from 1 John, words from 1 John, the first chapter, verses 8 to 10. Now, this seems right enough, but further along in 1 John 3, 9, we have a problem. 1 John 3, 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. His seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Well, I think that these words, cannot sin, are faulty. This passage of Scripture, I fully believe, should be read, whoever is begotten of God does not willingly sin. And he will not willingly sin. Why? Because if the new creature willingly sins, it would mean his death. In harmony with Romans 8, 1, the Lord's people have been brought out of a miry clay of sin and rest on the solid rock Christ Jesus. Now we are covered by this robe of Christ's righteousness, that we have been given the Holy Spirit, and are reckoned as sons of God. Romans 8:16. And therefore there is no condemnation, no judgment against those in Christ, because they are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But through all this, we have come to realize that we have this Holy Spirit in an earthen vessel. I remember Brother John McCauley one time saying we are crackpots. We can lose the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. We're leaky vessels, in other words. 2 Corinthians 4:7, as the Apostle John says, we all do sin. We all need the help of our advocate to cleanse us from our mistakes. Psalms 19:12-14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And then I will be upright, and I will be innocent from the great transgression. O God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, my strength, my redeemer. And then, as 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, Jesus is able and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's again look at this word advocate. Vine's expository of Greek words says of advocate, the Greek parakletos, intercessor. What is an intercessor? From the Greek, it simply means to be called along to one side. Today we think of an intercessor as a lawyer, one who pleads the case of one who is out of harmony, and this lawyer pleads the case to the judge. It was used in the court of justice to denote a legal assistant, a counsel for the defense, called advocate. Now, there's another word for advocate, consoler or comforter, that we've briefly talked about, and it is the act of giving comfort. In 1 John 14:16, we read, I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, this word comforter is the same Greek word for advocate in our lesson. Now, the comforter that John was referring to was the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was alive as a man, he was the present comforter. And after his resurrection and going to the Father, he sends the Holy Spirit to be the comforter, the church's consoler. How important to recognize our sins and to pray to the Lord when we do sin, Lord, cleanse us. Proverbs 28:13 reads, He that covers his sins will not prosper. Whosoever confesses and forsakes his sins will have mercy. We find in Psalms 32 these words, Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And then in verse 5 of Psalms 32, I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins. That's from the New International Version. Prayer and confession are so very important, my dear brethren, to the life of God's people. All in Christ need his advocacy, his pleading for us when we do sin, his mercy in taking our cause to the Heavenly Father, and in return we are also to pray for one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. 1 Peter 1:16. Going on in 1 John 2:2, we read that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for those of the whole world. What is meant by the thought of Jesus as propitiation for our sins? Propitiation from the Greek word hilasmos, expiator, meaning to atone for our sins. And it took a perfect man's life, the Lord Jesus, to atone for the sins of a perfect man, Adam. We find Jesus speaking to Peter, telling him, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, Luke 22:32. We see that without Jesus standing alongside Peter pleading his case, he would have failed. Now we realize that Peter had not yet received the Holy Spirit, but Jesus knew Peter's heart and went before the Heavenly Father praying that any sin of Peter's was unintentional and that he would be a good servant. As sinners, we had no relationship with God. When we believed and turned from sin, we had a justification by faith imputed to us, permitting us to draw nigh to God and to hear his message through Christ speaking peace to us and informing us of the high calling and assuring us that now is an acceptable time, that during this gospel age God is willing to accept us as living sacrifices through the merit of Jesus and then to beget us of the Holy Spirit. The moment we accepted those terms, our Redeemer became our advocate, and immediately the entire contract was closed, and we were begotten of the Holy Spirit, and we were no longer in the flesh, but now in the Spirit. We see that the new creature needs an advocate. Even though we are in full relationship with the Heavenly Father, and even though as new creature, it has no sin, the sins canceled at Calvary were those of the old creature. It is asked why the new creature begotten of God, sinless, needs an advocate. Well, it's because the old creature has the treasure of this new mind in an earthen vessel and is as very imperfect through the fall. The sins of his mortal body were all canceled through a full and complete consecration, and we are reckoned as free from sin, reckonedly, not actually, yet. In summary, we have seen that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, one who stands beside us, one who pleads our case before God when we sin. We see how necessary an advocate is to the new creature. We see how important confession and prayer are in our walk with God. And we see that Jesus has made propitiation, satisfaction for our sins and those of the whole world. Again, the word intercessor used for advocate simply means one who goes between. Comfort or comforter are the words used. And before our Lord left his disciples, he promised that he would send them another comforter, John 14:16. In John, this would be the Holy Spirit of John 14:26. The work of this comforter would be the same as when he was present with them, and it was the promise of one to stand alongside to give aid to. And for each of those in Christ, we all have the assurance of one to plead our case if we trespass in any way. But there is a personal work, dear brethren, for each of us as new creatures in Christ. For when we sin, let us understand that we have sinned and confess our sin, asking the Heavenly Father through Jesus to forgive the sins committed. We thank you, dear Lord, for the promise of being our advocate, our intercessor, our comforter. And now we'll turn the podium over to our dear brother Frank Nemish, who will speak to you on the subject of mediator.